Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Oh, we're back again. You can't get rid of us that easily. It's Mick Dagger here.
And the General.
And this is Beer Army Engaged, and what a powerful weekend this past weekend was. Jolly Skull Beer Fest was awesome.
Yeah, it was off the chain, and I know we'll talk about it in the next segment, but yeah. Holy crap. I think that was my hero for the week. I don't know. It was a pretty crazy 48 hours, and of course, us going up there the night before, and we should have been doing some work, but then, a big shout out before I forget to Amanda Webb and R.A. Jeffries for putting on the, the official or unofficial Brewers Reception. They did a great job at Winslow's.
Amazing, yeah.
The beers that were being offered, Natty Greens, Lone Rider, and my bad.
Natty Greens, Lone Rider.
I remember Natty Greens and Lone Rider. I just don't remember the middle one. I want to say it was Carolina Brewery.
Carolina Brewing Company. Yeah.
And that just goes to show you how much we were drinking.
Yeah, there were some strong beers in that in that bunch.
It was. And, of course, the Winslow's, they had some food on offer there, and they had those ribs. Oh, my God. And then the stuffed peppers. Woo! Mamma mia.
Oh, those were sad. They had enough zip on them. They were delicious.
So, shout out to them. So, we really appreciate it. Again, we'll get into the next segment, but... And then, of course, I want to give a shout-out to our Patreon members, new members. John Canisthorpe is a staff sergeant.
Nice,
so the old man's getting, he decided to get to enlist. And then Carolyn Harold is a corporal. So thank you, too, for signing up and pledging your support to Patreon. And if you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, go over to Patreon, patreon.com/Beer Army. And you'll find all about it, about becoming a Beer Army Super Soldier. So
it's just awesome. And thank you so much for coming into the fold and helping us do great things.
Definitely.
It's an honor to have you with us. And I got to give a shout out to the beer can.
Do you?
Yeah. Turned 80 this past weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Looking good at 80.
It is. It's, it's kind of, I guess
ironic,
we'll jump into it, right now. Speaking of the beer can, we are drinking on, imbibing on some Frog Level Brewing Company out of Waynesville, North Carolina. If you don't know where that's at, that's about 40 minutes west of Asheville, North Carolina, which is Beer City, USA. There's Salamander Slam IPA coming in at 7% ABV.
It's good.
But, this is a 16-ounce can. They're a very small brewery. I'm pretty impressed that they're in a can, at this stage of the game. Pleasantly surprised in an English-style IPA. And I think it's pretty damn awesome. And the reason why I think that's awesome is because most American brewers are doing American IPAs, and it's, they always think a good IPA is just to make it bitter out of the bejesus, and I would disagree, and I don't want to digress into that. But so it's an English style. It's definitely got this kind of a brownish, orangish, amberish color going on, golden to orange color. It's had some white head, and there's some, a little bit of lace happening there. It's very cloudy.
It's
definitely not filtered or anything like that.
No, one and, who is new to beer might think this is a wheat beer.
Yeah, well, I think the nice thing about it is that I'm not sure if he dry hops it or not. I'm willing to guess that he does, but you're getting some of that. A lot of that flavor is coming from that, because it isn't so over filtered. Mm-hmm. Of course, the downside with that is you have to drink this beer fresh then, because you let it sit around and it's probably not going to taste the same. And definitely, if you get your hands on this, drink it. Don't age it.
Well, I love the fact that they're approaching it from an English style.
Yeah.
Which, when you break that down, that's an English barley malt,
It's balanced. I mean, really, the big take. Yeah, usually. Yeah, definitely that. But the big take is that on American, it's always about IBUs and hoppiness and bitterness.
Right,
and the reason
why
I like English style better is because it's more balanced with the malt. And it's just a more, to me... Some would say, well, it's not as flavorful or whatever.
I think you get more complexity of flavor.
I say it's more balanced, and therefore everything you're picking up dances across the palate,
exactly.
And then one thing doesn't dominate it over another. But, in the smell and the aroma, I mean, you got to, even if you don't have a nose, you're picking up the aroma on this. And I even got a little bit of, I wouldn't say a head cold or anything, but I got a little bit of congestion, but I can definitely smell the aroma coming off this beer, and I would say it's very spicy. It's got some zip to it on the hops, and it's definitely floral, and there's definitely citrus in there. I can definitely pick up like your grapefruits or zest and stuff like that. And there's also, I think I'm picking up a little bit of pine, or some of that resiny.
I think that's the spice you're getting is that pine.
Maybe. And the flavor is similar to the aroma, but you can really taste, and I think this is where it becomes balanced more, is I can pick up caramel. I can definitely pick up caramel where the malt is. And you don't pick up the caramel as much in the nose as you do on the flavor on this. But I would also, the flavor, I was going to describe it as velvety or creamy, that caramel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm actually going to go, maybe not with velvety, but more creamy. Not like a Guinness creamy, but it's just creamier.
It's really smooth across the palate. It really is. And I might have been off on that pine reference, but
No. I think maybe you're right. I think maybe some of the spiciness that I'm picking up is pine, because pine can be like that. It's just like this resiny though, piney type.
Yeah. And how long? I guess it's in the brew process to determine that. Yeah.
But the body's definitely medium, and the carbonation is the same. I also would classify the mouthfeel. And at the end of the day, I'm telling you, this is a very drinkable IPA. And the thing is, it doesn't taste like a 7% IPA to me. Mm-mm. And I think I would get in trouble with this thing, especially because it's in a 16-ounce can. So then you're thinking, oh, it's a 12, you know, like, let me have two of them or three of them. And before you know it, you know, you're drinking, you know, 150% more beer than what you normally would coming out of a can. So, I love it. And for those who don't know, Frog Level was founded by, he's a Marine veteran, Clark Williams, and officially started in December of 2011. Again, they're out of Waynesville, North Carolina. I would say he, like a lot of guys that go pro, he was a home brewer. They got, you know, went on steroids basically, and it took over his garage, and basically all of his friends were calling his garage, you know, Frog Level is what he was calling it anyways. And so, yeah, and so he just kind of, you know, grew from there. He's already retired from the Marine Corps. He was working another job at a chemical plant or whatever, and then I took the jump from there and established it in Waynesville, just down their street from the chemical plant. So if you go visit in Waynesville or whatever, and it's Haywood County's first brewery, and now they already have four others. And I think that's pretty awesome, or that goes to show you just how much it's growing when you got Asheville, which is Beer City, USA, multiple times in a row, just down the road. So for that county to already have, you know, four other breweries on top of him just from 2011, that's pretty impressive. And if you go to Waynesville, the best way to describe it is like this cool little sleepy little village town. I say that it being 10,000 in population, so it's not like this little town with one traffic light, but it has that vibe where everybody knows your name, everybody waves, you know, type situation. That's how it felt when we were there. Yeah. You know, everybody's very, very friendly. And, you know, it's set in this beautiful backdrop with the Appalachian countryside and the mountains and, you know, Saddlebacks and all that stuff. And it just, I was like, yeah, I could see why a person would want to live here. And it seemed, just from talking to some of the people, Asheville seems to be very like a liberal bastion, you know, but then you go outside, it gets very conservative. This town is, to me, definitely more conservative. It was just interesting.
That is interesting. The small towns. I lived in a town of 700.
Oh, really?
And it's endearing to have that sense of community, but it's weird. If you do anything out of the norm of your daily routine, you become part of the rumor mill.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where I definitely think if you took a shit in that town, everybody's going to know about it. You know?
And I wonder what they thought when he set up shop there.
Well, and speaking of the name, so Frog Level, right? Like, that's kind of a unique name, right? I mean, where the hell does that come from? Well, it turns out that, like a lot of breweries, they take their namesake from the area that they live in. And so, you know, even though they're in Waynesville, the original center of town where there used to be this train depot, it used to be called Frog Level. That was the name that the original center of the city was called Frog Level. Now it's the older part of the town, you know, kind of started building that reputation for more blue collarish, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
So you're down in the Frogs, and because there's a creek that runs right through there, which we'll talk about here in a second, where the brewery's located, and you can hear the amphibians and everything, you know.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if they do any late night frog gigs.
So it's like if you lived in that neck of the woods, you know, you were in high society living up somewhere else, basically. And so they'd be like, oh, you're from Frog. You know, if you're from Frog Level or from that area, that was kind of looked down upon, basically.
Well, I would say if you're down on the level, you're good to go.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is that the Frog, that part of town now, has recently had this rebirth, you know, where everything's getting kind of, I don't want to say hipster, because
they're having a real renaissance.
Renaissance, like this bohemian, like renaissance, you know, you know, ever since that train station stopped operating in the late 1940s, you know, it kind of went, you know, like we were talking about. But now, in like this last 5 or 10 years, it just really seems to have this rebirth. And
sweet.
The thing I like about Clark, though, he's not afraid to experiment, which is really awesome. And I think that's the cool part of being a home brewer and then transcending to the pro level, is that you kind of take that tip of your hat, so to speak, to those roots. And, you know, he's been experimenting with lemongrass and blue spruce and smoke malts. While we were up there, we had this new beer of his. It was a smoke pilsner, and the smoke was really subtle. And you have to be, because pilsner is such a, I mean, you can't screw up with that, because a pilsner is not going to give you, it's not going to be forgiving. I guess. It's not a big dark stout or a port or something like that where you can get away with it. And the amount of beer he's putting out, and excuse me. Wow. See, that's how good it was, Clark. I'm burping up over here. He's already in a can. I mean, that's pretty impressive, but it's only a direct fired 3-barrel system. And so it's not like a huge operation, but where he's at, it's a beautiful setting. You go off the back from the tap room, walk out, and you're right on this creek.
Oh, wow.
And it's just beautiful. I mean, the beer garden area is just freaking beautiful. I mean, I'm so jealous and envious. And I'm like, man, you know, I wish I lived closer than 6 hours away, you know. And I told him as much. And I was like, and then they're kind of like in a bigger building. And so it's like a multi-tenant type building. And down at the other end, there's a coffee roaster and a coffee house. And he's buys hops from this guy, because these guys been growing hops over the past year. He's been using locally sourced hops, which, again, you're experimenting, because that's hard to do. You don't know what the IBUs are and stuff like that, the hops, and unless you're going to go pay to get it identified. And then he uses the coffee beans and stuff like that. And, you know, so I think it's really, really cool. And
how far is he distributed?
He's statewide. I mean, but I would say, I say that tongue in cheek, like, he's statewide, but I know there's probably areas like in the Outer Banks, you're probably not going to be able to get his beer. I believe he's with Millennium Distributing or whatever, Millennium Beverage. So
if you're in North Carolina,
you should be able to get it. Yeah,
you should be able to enjoy definitely. This beer.
No doubt about it.
Do it if you are.
Yeah, but and he has medals to prove that he knows how to make great beer. And again, if you get a chance to get out to Waynesville, everybody goes to Asheville, but make the trek, the 30-40 minutes down there. Look where this brewery is at, because it's awesome. Say hi to Clark, and he's just a great guy. He's laid back. And the bar, I mean, they're putting in this new bar in the tap room. It's just beautiful. It's got a little patriotic vibe, but it has the raw brick and it's just beautiful.
Oh, wow.
It's just beautiful. So
definitely, if it's worth it, make the trip. Get down on the level. Get down on the frog level.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of news,
yeah,
you said about the beer can. Freaking InBev gobbled up another one. If you remember a couple episodes back, we talked about Elysian Brewing, that Space Dust IPA.
Great beer.
Well, on Friday they announced that they acquired them, so...
So InBev now
owns... Well, Anheuser-Busch, right. InBev. It's known as InBev, but it's basically Budweiser.
And now how many microbrews have they purchased?
I don't know, but I heard that what they're doing is basically going to create like their version of 10th and Blake, which is like what Miller Coors does with all their craft brands. It sticks in 10th and Blake, so yeah, another one bites the dust.
Wow. The beer is still going to be good. They still have the same people brewing.
As long
the beer.
As they do that, you know, as long as they keep they it. That. Yeah, that's what I really hope too, and it'll be awesome, but... you know, I know Clark. I think he would he'd be like over my dead body before he gets your hands on Frog Level. So,
well, definitely enjoy the beer again. That's Frog Level Brewing. It's a delicious beer. Check it out. You can link to it right here on the website through this podcast.
Definitely. And if you want to go to them directly, it's froglevelbrewing.com.
And stick around. We still have our Heroes Never Die segment. We're going to do a recap of a Jolly Skull Beer Fest. And later on, we have Yikum to Sue, and there's plenty of insanity to get to. So just keep it locked on Beer Army Engaged.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org.
Hey, Dustin, why do you get a beer t-shirt, not me?
Just go over to wearyourbeer.com. Get 20% off your order by using the promo code BEERARMY.
It's that easy?
It's that easy. Wearyourbeer.com.
Promo code BEERARMY?
Yep, and you get 20% off your order.
I'm going to wear my beer.
Go for it today.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to beerarmy.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org. Beer Army Engaged.
Well, welcome back and hang around, because we're gonna recap Jolly Skull. But you know, this is the most what I consider the meat and potatoes, the grit of Beer Army Engaged.
Definitely.
Because what it breaks down to, man, it's crazy situations. You never know where you'll find yourself, and you never know who's going to step in the gap.
Victory! This week, we're going to pay respects to Mohammed Gulab. Does that name sound familiar to you? Are you familiar?
Mohammed Gulag?
Gulab.
Gulab.
Let me help you with here. How about Marcus Luttrell?
Oh, yeah, he's the guy that, the Afghani villager that took him in and protected him, right?
Yeah, so we're talking about Lone Survivor, where Mark Wahlberg, yeah. which is, you know, after we just had American Sniper get released, and I know we spoke about it a little bit last week,
yep.
but, so guess what this man is up to?
Muhammad?
He's trying to get to the United States. He's trying to seek asylum in the United States.
Well, I know Marcus Luttrell has been trying for years to get him asylum and care of him and his family.
You would think, like, how hard is... Well, hold on. I want you to listen to this real quick.
Okay.
New details tonight on the Afghan man made famous in the film Lone Survivor after he saved American hero Marcus Luttrell from the Taliban. Muhammad Ghulab risked his life and the lives of his family to protect Luttrell even after the terrorists showed up at their village. Actor Mark Wahlberg and the filmmakers interviewed Ghulab while they were there shooting the film.
And so it's like, we'll get into it a little bit here a little bit later on, or, you know, later on, but it's like, how hard is that going to be? This guy saves and he risks himself and his family.
And the thing is, he didn't know Marcus Luttrell.
Doesn't know him from Adam. But I think it goes back to, you know, why people might say, you know, things about Arabs or Muslims or anything like that. I think being a human being, again, getting back to the core of being humanity,
mm-hmm.
whether you have a code, you know, it could be the code of Bushido, it could be, you know, if you're, you know, for Japanese, you know, or whatever. There's a warrior's way. There's a warrior's ethos. It's not, and I say this without being sexist, whether you're a man or a woman, there's a way to do business, yeah. you know, yeah. and have mutual respect and trust and understanding that transcends your sex, male, female, your ethnic, your religion, all that. And I think Muhammad had that. He looked at, you know, Marcus as not as an infidel Christian or whatever. He looked at it as somebody, hey, who's injured.
A human being.
He isn't trying to accost me. He needs help.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It just blows me away. It really does. But check out the rest of this little piece here.
Okay.
He says that Taliban came to me at first and told me, hey, give us this soldier. We will go about our way once you hand him over. I told him, this is our culture that he's in my house now. I cannot turn him over to you.
Wow.
So he tells him no, and the rest of the video goes, and it's kind of captured in the movie, even though the movie kind of Hollywoods it up a little bit, but...
Well, they get the gist of it. They really right. do.
It's like, he... Would you do that for a complete stranger, you know? Would you just take them in at the risk of your life, let alone the risk of your family, your children?
That's a tough question. Because in our society, majority of people wouldn't.
Especially as psychotic as the Taliban are. You know, like, they'll have no problem cutting your head off. You know what I mean?
With that in mind, and you saying that, with that in mind, there is a huge distinction between the Taliban and your average tribal Afghani villager.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing is, and we've talked about this before, you know, as prior service military, you get sent down range, you deploy to these places, you're in austere conditions, you're subjected to what it's like with these cultures, and it's frustrating for us at times. There's parts of that culture that we can't stand. It's hard to deal with, it's hard to break through, it's hard to empower them. Not that we're trying to control them or get them to do anything other than have them take care of their own in their own country. But then there's other aspects of being in that tribal culture which are just mind-blowingly awesome, yeah. like this.
Well, I think at the end, you kind of hit it when you just said that, like, you're trying to, you know, train them or whatever. I think at the end of the day, you're trying to get them to take responsibility for their lives and what's going on. And that's exactly what he's doing here. He's taking responsibility for, you know, it's kind of like our general orders in the Marine Corps. I take charge of this post and all government property in view. Well, this guy fell into his village, basically. He took him, you know, mm-hmm. it was his responsibility, whether you wanted it or not. You know, it was the code that he lived by. And I think that's pretty awesome. And what pisses me off is the bureaucracy of this guy trying to seek asylum. And if you listen to the rest of the video, I don't want to play anymore because that actually kind of pisses me off, you know, just listening to it.
Well, it goes more into the facts and all this.
Well, he has an attorney that's, you know, trying to get him back in, back to the States. But he was here visiting Marcus Luttrell and down in Texas, and, you know, he could have seeked asylum then, and if he would have, he would have never left. I'm thinking that maybe, though, because he had family, like, he probably
didn't want to leave.
You know, and so I'm sure that probably has something to do with it. I'm just speculating there. I don't know that for a fact.
Well,
but,
I think there's more truth to that.
But what drives me apeshit, and they're saying, well, the attorney goes, well, we're working through issues with Homeland Security and United Nations and other departments. What?
Anybody?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Wait a minute. So you're telling me anybody that shows up at an American embassy anywhere and ask for asylum, it has to go through these multiple levels
of bureaucracy.
Right, exactly.
Mm. I mean, and the thing is this guy saved one of our own.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? To live and fight another day.
I think that should skip a few steps in the process.
Exactly. I'm sorry. I'm willing to fast track. I mean, out of all the illegal aliens we got in the country, this is one I can live with. Okay? Yeah. I don't give a shit what his name is or if he's Muslim or I can buy off on this one. Okay? It's like,
I can't believe that, but it's just an amazing individual. And you're right when you say the movie captures just a portion of it.
Yeah.
The book, to really understand the man that Marcus Luttrell came to know after he was evac'd out of there, after he was saved, and he still kept in contact with him, and then forged this lifelong friendship. You truly understand the heart of this.
But man. I just want to say, if anybody from the Department of Homeland Security is listening, pull your heads out of your asses, fast track this bitch, get him in country, get his family in country, do the right freaking thing.
Yeah.
Do the right freaking thing, man. Because it's sad. It's sad.
But you're right, man, and an excellent choice for Heroes Never Die.
Yeah,
choosing him. That's awesome.
You know, a lot of times especially since with the Paris bombings and stuff, when we talked about, I thought this was a nice way to highlight, again, another Muslim, you know, because I think so many people, I was reading something about the American Sniper, since the movie kind of hit that there over the last week or two, there's been like a little bit of backlash here in the stateside with some Muslim communities and stuff like that. And that's unfortunate.
Well, it's
so un-American. That's not what we're about.
Well,
you know?
The shit stirs, man. You know? Every religion has them. They have that. And right now it's the ones, it's the organizations like CARE.
Yeah.
You know, and where they're essentially the race baiters of the Muslim religion.
Yeah.
It's frustrating because that beef over American Sniper is simply over his reference to the savages.
Yeah, well, again, when we talked about black humor before, it's not supposed to be there for public consumption. You know, it's internal. You know, and whatever, man. All I can say is
you're right.
All I say is Muhammad, when you get here stateside, if you're willing, because I know your religion is restrictive, I will buy you a beer. And matter of fact, I will take you to the next Jolly Skull Beer Fest. Speaking of which, I wanted to kind of come back and talk about the Jolly Skull Beer Fest because it was an awesome time. We had final beer count actually ended up being almost 180.
Wow.
The homebrewer section, the DEA, holy
Those
crap.
Guys.
Did you see? Oh, my God.
Honestly, I'll be honest with you. I was so busy over in my booth, I did not get to go over there and sample any of the DEA. But they did leave me, Paul Williams from DEA, did leave me a bottle of their honey porter.
Nice. Well, I thought I brought you the raspberry mead.
Oh, you did? Okay, that was from DEA.
And I was like, holy smokes. And then, of course, the guys are back. And they're the homebrew club up in Greenville. And then the back, too, the Beer Alchemist of Coastal Carolina. And DEA stands for Down East Ailers. But
clarify that.
Yeah, it's a pun. Exactly. We're going to have some agency coming to DA. What the hell? We got a homebrew club. No, and then the Beer Alchemist of Coastal Carolina, they had two booth space. They're up from Jacksonville, and they had some great offerings. And, of course, our local club here in New Bern, the Alcohol Through Fermentation, they're being represented as well. And they had
otherwise known as ATF.
Or ATF, exactly. Yeah. ATF. They had six or seven offerings. And a really cool thing was we had seven or eight guys that came out from the Goldsboro area. They were, I'm assuming, Air Force, because they're from Seymour Johnson Bay Air Force Base. And they just recently started a homebrew club. And so they were like, this is freaking awesome. Yeah. So I was like, well, it's freaking awesome. They're excited about Jolly Skull, right? Because they're like, hey, we just found out about it. I'm like, hey, well, I'm freaking awesome. I just found out there's a homebrew club at Seymour Johnson Air Force Base, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully we can do something with those guys in the future or get them more involved, maybe a future festival. So, you know, get another club represented. Because that's awesome.
Well, the camaraderie and just the collaboration from the BAC Squared, DEA, and ATF.
Yeah.
And of course, don't read that the wrong way. Those are all brew clubs. But their beers are delicious.
And then the photo, Tap Snap, I want to give a shout out to those guys at the photo booth we had.
I couldn't believe it.
That was a great setup. And then Harmony, a real great job there making those guys tote around that big ass sign from White Street. They had this like lamppost bolted, and I didn't see Harmony there. And the guy's like, yeah, man. He goes, I'd like to see her set this shit up. It's like a couple hundred pound plates for the base plate and all that.
I was watching them set that up.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap, man. So, everybody had great beer going. Everybody had the beer flowing. The vibe was there. Brian Mayer did a great job playing, DJ Dog, with G Vegas Magazine, and everything. Master of Ceremonies as always did a fabulous job. I want to give a shout out to, some of the newcomers like D9 Brewing and Skull Camp Brewing for making the track and coming out there. It's always exciting when we get some new breweries out there. Spencer, the only Trappist brewery in the United States.
Oh, amazing, my gosh.
They had.
And you better explain that, because it's because they're the only Trappist brewery in the States. A lot of people might not understand what that
means.
Well,
just, you know, traditional, you know, Belgium style brewing, you know, like the monks in the monastery and stuff like that. And actually, maybe we'll try to feature that, you know, upcoming or something like that, and we can talk about that more. But, It was a great beer, though.
Oh, it was awesome.
Just a great beer. And then Green Man was there when we featured them before, and Jonathan, you know, and everything. Appreciate him showing up. And I know I'm probably leaving out a lot of other breweries, so don't take it personally if you're listening. It's like, hey, man, we were there, too. I mean, there was just so many. And that's the thing that kills me. It's like you're running the freaking gauntlet.
Yeah.
Because they'll see, like, hey, Dustin, try this. And, you know, you're like, shit, man, if I tried every beer somebody's trying to get me to try, you know. Mark Hujadel from Blue Point. He was there in a typical fashion, you know, with the Blue Point hockey jersey on and everything. And
he's a trip.
For people who don't know, he's a big curb rat. And so we hooked him up with a Beer Army skateboard deck. And I told him, hey, dude, I better see some pics.
Did you see him carrying it around over his head?
No, I didn't. I didn't see that. But, you know, and then I know we talked about the Brewers reception again. It was just a great time. You know, nobody got into fights or anything. It always amazes me how we have thousands of people come out. There's alcohol involved, but we don't have alcohol-related instances. And if we can do that, that tells me anybody can do it, you know. And I think, I don't know, I just...
Well, what it is, it's the nature of the event, man. Yeah. It's celebrating craft beer. It's not nickel draft night at your dive bar. Yeah.
Or say, flip cup, dude, you know.
Yeah. It's not that. It's just about experiencing and sharing great beers, man. Yeah. It's amazing just the people who were surprised in different styles and are just talking to their friends and passing. You overhear them talking and be like, oh my gosh, you know, it's awesome to have that.
We got a lot of kudos on our new glass. You know, well, we went to plastic, so I was kind of worried about the backlash that we're going to have, but we went to a new tasting cup or glass, but it was a little beer mug. Yeah.
Yeah,
so that was kind of nice, too. And of course, Rock for Vets coming out and providing volunteer support and frying up some great food, cooking up some great food, and they were busy as heck. So was Winslow's with their chips. Their kettle chips are always awesome. And just everybody else that made it possible. Again, I know there's probably a lot of people I'm not plugging, but... and I apologize, but it
overall,
was just a great
event, man. And it took everybody being there to make it happen.
But I got to tell you, brother, you looked the best with that Beer Army Radio, that booth,
that
man.
That setup looks
I tell you what,
man,
I was
awesome.
I know you've been in terrestrial radio business for a long time, but I got to tell you, that was the best radio booth I've ever seen.
You like how I set that up?
You know? No, it just, I was like, damn. And I mean, we even heard some people that are in the business said, like, holy shit, I wish I could get that kind of support. You know what I mean? And I said, what are you trying to say? We're not legitimate? You know, we're trying to make up for our other shortcomings? Hell no, man. You know, I just, people seem really responsive. I know I was hanging out in the booth with you for a little bit, and people are like, oh, you know, we talked about the podcast here.
Yeah.
And just real excited, and they got to check it out. So I hope, you know, if you're listening to this, and this is your first episode listening, please check out the back episodes.
Well, there's
and,
some
you
good
know,
stuff in
and,
there.
And please consider pledging your support. And as a Beer Army Super Soldier member, you get, you know, exclusive content. So.
Real quick, I know we got to wrap this up, but real quick, I had on display some of that Super Soldier swag from people that contribute and be part of the foundation. And I'll tell you, man, people just wanted it. I had to honestly, it was like, no, this is a display. This is just some stuff to look forward to if you want to be a part of the foundation.
Yeah.
And people were wanting to walk away with it. It was cool, but I kind of felt bad at the same time. Like, I'm sorry, but
we'll have to work on some kind of swag, like a sticker or something we can give them then, you know, or something in the future. I don't know.
No, just a great time, great experience, great people, great beer. And if you were a part of it, if you were part of putting it on, thank you so much for being a part of it. We can't mention all the sponsors. There's too many. But and if you showed up, man, thanks for sharing that with us, because it's just a great time, great beer. And stick around, Yikem to Sue coming up. We can't make this shit up, and it gets weird. It's going to get crazy.
Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Hey, Dustin, where do I get a Family Guy t-shirt?
Is that Cleveland or is that Mick?
Oh, it's Mick. I just sound like Cleveland.
Go over to TVMovieDepot.com and get clothing from all your favorite TV shows and movies.
Don't forget, it's the promo code Beer Army. That'll get you 20% off.
That's TVMovieDepot.com.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at beerarmy.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to beerarmy.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Don't forget, hit us up online, beerarmy.org. There's a bunch of goodies there. And, man, the hats, how did those, a lot of people loving those at the festival, right?
They were. The big seller was the 50 cal bottle openers, which we'll be getting up on our online stores. We had the brass, OD green, and mate black. And then we also had the new 7.62 with dog tag keychain bottle opener.
They're awesome because it's a full round.
Yeah, it's a full round.
It's the casing and the bullet itself.
And it's another nonprofit that puts those on, which is Bullet to Bandages. So we're glad that we can team up with them.
Oh,
and,
hell yeah.
And it's two prior Navy EOD techs that started that out in San Diego area. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I like how you refer to it as Mate Black.
Mate.
I always knew it as Matt Black.
Matt, mate, whatever.
All right, mate. How you got your 50K around, mate?
It's Australian.
How you going, mate? You got Mate Black, mate? All right. Regardless, it's that time of the program.
I love it.
Are you ready?
I am ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Like SpongeBob.
There's some crazy stuff in the news right now. So it's time to yick 'em to sue. Hey, Dustin, I got a question for you.
Shoot.
How do you like your balls?
I like my balls. I like them, you know, I don't want them too tight. Don't want them too loosey-goosey.
Let me clarify. How do you like your footballs?
Oh, my footballs?
Yeah.
I don't know. You mean like foam or you mean pigskin or synthetic or...
Pigskin. Yeah.
A standard issue pigskin. I don't know. I mean... Well, what are you doing with this, man?
All in Deflategate.
Oh, yeah.
It's all in the news.
Jesus. Yeah, with really? The Super Bowl coming up and everything.
That really went over
your head? Well, the Super Bowl's coming up. Oh, dude, I'm still recovering from Jolly Skull, man. And of course, I got some frog level in me, so.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, this is a gift that keeps on giving. I don't know if you caught the press conference with Tom Brady over this.
No, I haven't.
Underinflated footballs issue.
Yeah.
But apparently, according to Tom Brady.
To me, those balls are perfect.
Those balls are perfect. He never once says footballs.
He does.
This coming from a pretty boy who wears UGG boots.
Nice.
So
nice.
I'm wondering exactly how he feels about his balls.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone touching the balls after that. I don't want anyone rubbing them.
No. Doesn't want anybody rubbing the balls.
Don't touch my balls.
But how does he prepare? How does he prepare his balls? Do you know?
Stretching.
You know, you go through that process of breaking the balls in and getting comfortable with them.
You got to break those balls in. Got to get comfortable with them. And then, you know, and once he's at that point, apparently the following happens.
When I felt them, they were perfect. I mean, I wouldn't want anyone touching those. I would zip those things up and lock them away until I got out on the field and had the opportunity to play with them. And that's what I thought I was doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lock those balls away. Zip them up.
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Until I have a chance to play with him like he's a little kid. I want to play with my balls. Let me get on the field and I'll ziplock my balls.
Of course, we're talking about the 11 of 12 of footballs that the NFL investigation found. 11 of them were underinflated by 2 pounds of pressure.
Oh.
And I don't know. I just find it interesting that why would they go with an odd number of balls unless Lance Armstrong was part of it?
Well, actually, I was going to do you one better. I think this is what I think. I think the balls took some advice that old Gronk gave the linemen earlier in the season, and they needed to get laid. And so those balls got released. You know, they just weren't as tight.
Yeah.
You know? They had some action before.
Well, in addition to the defensive linemen, the balls need to get laid. But I don't know, man. Is there really an issue here?
I don't know. You know, it's,
well, all I know is Tom Brady says this.
I don't think anybody knew there was an issue with the balls. I think they said the balls are not ready for play.
Well, then if they're not ready for play, don't play with your balls, Brad. Why do they call him Brad?
I don't know. He's such a whiny bitch, man. He is.
It's a gift that keeps on giving. There's so many out of context things with that press conference.
And that's a legitimate... That's the actual press conference.
That's actual audio from his press conference.
You're serious?
Actual audio.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, how about ice fishing? What do you think about ice fishing?
Well, I've had frostbite. I don't like being in the cold.
I'm a big fan of ice fishing, and this is why. Well, I guess let me put it this way. The way that you do it legally, I'm not a big fan of. Illegal... In Wisconsin, you put your tip-ups out, then you sit in the bar and you look out the window and when you see your tip-ups, then you go up there and check to see if you got a fish. Or people have these ice shanties that are literally like small cabins with TVs and recliners and they're ice fishing.
I can do that. Yeah. I don't mind the cold as long as it's not a humid cold.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm sure you've heard about people fishing with dynamite and stuff like that, right?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Well, I got a little video for you here. I'm only going to play like 6 seconds of it because it's unfortunately you're not going to understand any of the language as it's not in English.
And, what language is it in?
It's actually in Sweden.
Okay.
So up in Sweden, they were doing some interesting things with fireworks. And so I want to just play this little excerpt for you.
Nej. Læg om. Nej, nej.
And you hear that part at the end that sounds
like the
wires?
Ice, yeah, it's like skimming
the ice. Yeah, literally. Yeah. So let me tell you what they're doing. So he's poking holes through the ice. Then he has this big bottle rocket. He lights it. He sticks just the tip now, underneath the ice. And then when the fuse gets down there, then he kind of throws it down because it's a waterproof fuse. The thing shoots. You see it underneath the ice like zoom, going. And of course, it's hitting up against the ice like a freaking, you know, rail car. It's and all of a sudden explodes. It goes right through the ice.
It's a visual representation of every frat boy's Friday night.
Just the tip.
Oh, come on, just the tip. I really promise I won't put it in all the way. Oops.
Oh,
boom.
Man, that's awesome. I was just like, so now I'm like.
You want to get fireworks.
I want, yeah, because I want to try it. Like, hey, I want to see how this works, you know?
Go out to the mountains, go out to frog level.
Yeah, there we go.
Grab some salamander slam.
There we go.
I know there's going to be a pond or a lake that's frozen up there. I'll go to south of the border first.
Yeah, I just don't want to lose any of my fingers or toes, though. You know, that's the thing. But no, it looks like fun. So the next time I have an opportunity, I'm definitely going to try that. Yeah. Definitely.
It sounds cool. Just the audio of it sounded cool. Here's audio I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear of a man peeing on his apartment floor.
You have audio of a man peeing?
No, I don't.
Okay, I was going to say, I agree with you. I don't know if I need to hear about a man peeing on his floor.
Apparently in Germany, you know, I don't know why this would ever come to a court of law.
Okay.
But a judge has ruled that a tenant can pee all over his apartment floor without worrying about the wrath of his landlord or the damage his urine may cause to the floor.
Wait. He can pee all over the floor and then not...
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? What the fuck, man?
He doesn't own the building, but he can destroy it.
I know, but so you go to court. Yeah, basically so you can destroy it. Yeah, you're going to piss all over the freaking place. I mean, what about like health, you know, issues and, you know, public safety? And I'm assuming it's a multi-tenant
building. All logical things. But this German landlord kept part of this tenant's security deposit because he'd allegedly damaged the marble floor of a toilet by sprinkling it with urine. Now, apparently, this has evolved, and that's just not the only place he's peed in this, his apartment. But this is as I break down this story, and this is from Jezebel, and this is according to The Guardian. They're just reporting on this story.
Yeah.
That the sitting versus standing debate for men in bathrooms, it's a big deal in Germany. Some establishments have signs that discourage peeing standing up. And if you're sitting down to relieve yourself, you're called a Sitzpinkler.
I'm trying to understand.
It's a derogatory term.
If you go down, you see a urinal. I mean, like, okay, you want me to sit?
Well, only if you're on the cover of a bat. What was that? No, that was a Foreigner album cover.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But this judge says the dude can legally pee all over the floor and leave it for as long as they would like. For freedom's sake.
For freedom's sake. You have to love courts and law and just all of it.
I couldn't imagine being owning a building, renting it out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And having somebody feel that they could pee all over the place.
You got to love the law, man.
For freedom's sake. Yeah, I'm a patriot. Hell, what makes you a patriot? I pee on my apartment floor.
I try to pee my name on the wall.
I know freaking shit spankler.
And trying to pee my name on the wall in German ain't an easy thing.
I can get out the N, the I, and the N, but I don't have enough urine left for the E.
Especially all that coughing, like, you know, the whole German language is like.
Well, yeah, a little bit. But not according to Wayne Newton, no.
No?
No.
Dunkashane, darling, Dunkashane, thank you for the pee you bring. I recall your urine on the floor when you took a piss. I was remiss. It's Germany, though, so they don't give a shit.
Sorry.
Well, speaking of law, you know, that's crazy in Germany. But how about stateside? How about the headline being guard, two strippers smuggle booze, drugs into prison?
Sounds like a...
Let me ask you this.
Sounds like a Hulu television show.
In all 50 of these great United States, what state do you think that's probably coming out of?
Florida. What? State shaped like a dick.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow, I was right.
So in Lutz, Florida, well, more specifically in suburban Pasco County, which is about 30 miles north of downtown Tampa, there was a Florida prison inmate escape that led investigators down a rabbit hole of sin involving a corrections officer, two strippers, the sheriff said brokered deals for malt liquor, cigarettes, and conjugal visits in the woods.
So apparently in Florida, Alice in Wonderland involves strippers, malt liquor, and conjugal visits.
Yes, sir. And the
not so much a children's fairy tale anymore, is it?
Well, the inmate that we're talking about is Jason Adams, and he escaped from a work crew. And basically what he was doing was going buying these things and setting it up, bringing it back to the guard. And the guard in this case was, what's this guy's name? Last name is Black Welder. I can't make that up. Black Welder.
Is that his porn name?
Yeah, Henry Black Welder. He didn't tell the superiors of his escape until 3 hours later. So basically what they're saying is that Adams, doing a 6-year stint for burglary and grand theft, he was caught a day later. You want to guess what he was doing a day later?
Conjugal visit?
No, he was riding a bicycle. Because that's what you all do when you escape from prison, right? You go ride a bicycle.
Kind of like the Seattle Seahawk on that police bike after they won the NFC championship.
He snuck away after asking to relieve himself in the woods and never coming back. And so the sheriff's basically saying that his arrest unraveled the 45-year-old Blackwelder's scheme. And, of course, he immediately resigned, but not before they went ahead and, you know, charged him with a bunch of...
So what was the full scheme?
So basically, Blackwelder, he enlisted two exotic dancers who also worked at a convenience store, and they helped him with the smuggling. And one of them was a 24-year-old woman, Jessica Morgan. She told deputies she knew it was wrong, but she did it because she had fallen in love with one of the inmates on the work crew. And then the 46-year-old Stacy Petty told officials they met with inmates once a week for about a year. And so then Blackwelder was paid with cash and food for the contraband and would finish any leftovers from the food the two women brought for their inmate boyfriends. And this is a quote coming straight from the sheriff now. He said he was like Yogi Bear out there eating their leftovers. He had a news conference, and he said Tuesday, and he stood behind them, a table stacked with contraband, including, you ready for this one? Scooby-Doo Snacks, which was spice packets, but the brand name is Scooby Snacks.
Scoob!
So, wow. Once again...
Leave it to Florida.
Yes, once again, it's just always
Holy
awesome.
Holy crap. Well, that's a good way to wrap it up with Scooby Snacks.
Scooby.
Yeah. Put a little spice in your life.
Scooby and a dookie. Scooby and a dookie shoot. that's an inside joke we'll have to save. We'll have to share that with everybody. But the dookie shoot.
All right.
And the mouse.
Even better way to wrap it up. The dookie shoot. That's going to do it for Beer Army Engage this week. Catch us next week. We'll have another awesome beer we'll feature. And we'll have more from the Ikem to Sue and another awesome hero we're going to salute. So make sure that you just check us out online, beerarmy.org. In the meantime,
rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.